Good afternoon. Today is Friday, March 28th, Jazz Festival Friday. Joining us this afternoon is Simple Country Therapist.
Thank you.
And jazz aficionado.
Absolutely.
Are you?
That's it. Yes. Oh, absolutely.
I know you enjoy some of it. I didn't know.
I do indeed.
Aficionado was too long a word for you.
Well, I can't even spell that.
Yeah, I know. That's why we're here instead of in print. Transcripts will not be available.
No.
Neither of us can figure this one out. This afternoon, we'll deal with the concept of change. Change comes to us, for us, from us, about us, all over the place. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the different ways to react to change and some of the ways
didn't
perhaps
cause
aren't
it.
So healthy for change.
Didn't cause it, can't control it, can't cure it.
But we can embrace it.
Have to learn methods to embrace it, yes.
There we go. So we'll do some embracing when we come back.
Oh, okay.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Simple Country Therapist Luke Wimby.
But first,
a word from our sponsor.
This is from Niccolo Machiavelli, one of my favorite quotes. First method for estimating the intelligence of a ruler is to look at the men he has around him. Because they're handpicked, of course, by the ruler.
Most situations. Most situations.
Yeah, pretty much most of the time.
Like the countries where you have people running for president. Number one is president. Number two is vice president. Always makes for interesting dynamics, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, cabinet meeting. Everybody except you.
If you want to look at the health of an organization, find out the person who does the hiring and firing, and then find out about their personality, because they're going to be recreating themselves in their hiring and firing practices. So if they have fatal flaws, then they're going to reproduce those fatal flaws in their employees. So you look at the men they hire, the women they hire, the adolescents, the kids they hire, who the interns are, how do they stay, what's the values of the organization that the hiring and firing person promulgates. There's another word for you, like aficionado. Promulgation.
Okay. Let's go to small little words like change.
Which happens about change, right. So if somebody in an organization is looking for change, then you look at the people they hire and you see how that reflects the individual who's hiring and attitude about change. Because change is inevitable. It's not optional, period. If you don't change, you die. Now, you can die by the inch or die by the yard, but if you don't change, everybody else moves ahead of you. It's a relative motion. If you're stuck without change, everybody else is moving ahead.
Well, and that's one of the challenges
you're moving behind.
A lot of folks have had outside looking in with the teaching profession. Let's say you're a third grade teacher. Okay.
And you don't believe in tablets?
Yeah, and technology is not your friend.
Too bad. Pretty soon
up
you'll
until
be,
about 15 years ago.
Pretty soon you'll be in trouble with the kids, then the parents, then the principal.
Right, yeah, and not necessarily that sequence.
Right.
But up until about 15 years ago, okay, you had your projector, and you threaded it the same way this year that you did last year.
Oh, yes.
You got your screens, you've got your crepe paper projects, and you got your rubber ball for kickball, and you know, nothing really changed.
Right.
Okay.
And then Microsoft came along.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
And the little ones start dealing with change.
Game changer.
Yeah.
It's amazing to watch the little ones with a tablet, and they're swiping and moving. And like, for example, if you give a kid a iPad with the family photos on it. They'll go through the entire family, 1,000 pictures, just swiping and looking and going back and forth and up and down and enlarging and reducing. And they're less than a year old, some of them. It's amazing.
No fear.
No fear. No fear.
However,
adjust, adapt, accommodate.
Yes. Yes. Let's talk about accommodations.
Accommodations.
I would think that that's probably the source of most consternation for most people because you're doing workarounds, everything.
You have to, first of all, admit that something that I expect, hope for, am used to, my habitual patterns aren't going to cut it anymore. There is something new called change. And I hate change. Therefore, I'm not going to change. Next. And a lot of people lose their jobs that way because they're rigid and won't move. And they're afraid because it upsets their habitual apple cart. And
Most people routine-oriented?
Oh, Lord. But mercy, yes.
I mean, you got some who are really that way and some that don't appear to have any. But
right.
Are most people comfortable with routine?
Oh, sure, you bet. That's what makes the day go reasonably well is routine. The expectations that things are going to be pretty much the same, which reduces anxiety / fear. So all of a sudden, change comes along, and anxiety escalates, and fear escalates, and that's when you have to learn how to adjust, adapt, and accommodate, which means changing my own habit patterns.
I would think rapid change is, in some situations, easier than slow, gradual evolutionary change.
Oh, the incremental.
If I'm going to change, let's do it at one shot so then I can get everything kind of dialed in around and then I can move from that point and not have to deal with weekly change.
Well, Microsoft is no longer supporting XP this year. So either you go to Windows 7 or 8 or you become a dinosaur because it's no longer supported. There's no updates, no upgrades. No more fixes, no more patches, right? So I did that, and I found out that one of the programs that I depend on in XP is marginally compatible in Windows 7. So now I got to hustle for some workarounds. Well, that means a lot of work on my part, and it certainly upsets my routine. Because I can crank out what I need in this program in one day. Now, the workarounds are going to require 3 days.
KINS, News and Information Time, because a commercial break is required also.
Yes.
It's 3:19.
Sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on 2 annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good...
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. This afternoon, we're talking about change. Louie, first segment, accommodation to change.
Okay. Well, interesting okay. about change. First of all, comes the issue of people paying attention to the reality that change is inevitable, period.
So acceptance must be in there before accommodation?
First of all, right. All you have to do is look at your kids growing up, and they're changing before your very eyes. So if you use children's growing as a model, then you anticipate change. You know it's coming. If you use computer technology as a model, you know that Moore's Law says you're going to double capacity every 18 months and cut the price in half every 18 months.
And Pong is no longer a viable entertainment option.
Pong.
That was a caveat in that one.
That's,
yeah.
That's an old dinosaur, yeah. So you first of all then grasp the concept that change is inevitable. Then you anticipate change. And then you start building a network of people that are involved in change. That's part of what PTA is about, for example. And men and women, parents, get together with other men and women, parents, and talk about change. And, well, what do you do when a kid goes from grade school athletics to middle school athletics? And guys talk about that and the coaching and the rest of that. And so they're anticipating change there and then exchanging information about how that works. Then, when it does happen, then the parents adapt to the changes that the kids make. Now, part of that adaptation, obviously, there are things simple like scheduling, clothing, new requirements for equipment, right? Those are all easy things.
Well, that's kind of like second tier change.
And those are all easy
your
things.
Life is being uprooted. For me, okay, I can I can buy some new clothes.
Right.
Rather than, yeah.
Right. Then you get into the soft areas, like attitude, judgment, opinion, feelings. Don't confuse me with facts. My mind's made up. Really?
There are professions in that arena.
There are indeed. So a lot of medicine has transferred over to computerized record keeping. So when I go to the doctor, he whips out his laptop and types in stuff, right? And I say to him, where's that stored? And he goes, oh, that's in the cloud. And I go, really?
That's reassuring,
what's
isn't it?
What's the cloud? Well, the cloud is a place above the atmosphere where Microsoft and a whole bunch of other people store information on some server. I don't know where it is exactly, but I hope that it's secure. Right? Okay. So much for paper trails. And
Nobody's going to invade the Crimea, are they?
And tangible records, right?
Yeah.
Oh, the Crimea. There's a whole different... Talk about change.
Unanticipated change, but nobody's going to break into the cloud and steal any of this information.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Privacy is sacrosanct. There is no privacy.
Et cetera, et cetera. Right.
So Obama gives $1 million to the Ukraine to pay for some oil so they can upgrade themselves, and then Putin sells the oil to the Ukraine, so Putin gets the $1 billion. So Obama is supporting Putin by giving oil to the or money to the Ukraine. It's the law of unintended consequences strikes again.
Well, and isn't that what change is a huge part of change?
There are lots of consequences from change that are not rigorously anticipated. That's true. So when kids go from, say, elementary school to middle school, there's a whole different sociology involved in that. Boys and girls, power. They go from class to class instead of staying in one room all the time. And those changes are not always anticipated, the results of those changes. So a kid's peer group changes, for one thing. They're exposed to different things in middle school, sex, drugs, alcohol, among other things.
How about public showers?
Athletics.
Yeah.
Yeah, public showers, right? And if people don't talk about that, or if there's not an atmosphere in the family where it's okay to talk about things like that, about what goes on, then it's a big hit, right? Which brings to mind a story about a teacher. The girls' bathroom was... all the mirrors were being covered with lipstick. Girls were writing on the mirrors with lipstick. And so a female teacher got all the girls into the bathroom and said something, some version of, look what you're doing here. Look at all the work you're making for the janitors. They were kissing the mirrors with lipstick, putting lipstick imprints on them, kissing imprints, right? And she said, look at all the work you're making. And then the janitor came in, and here's what he has to do to clean the mirrors, what you put your lipstick, your lips on, your imprints, your kissy faces. So he takes his mop, sticks it in the toilet, and wipes down all the mirrors. That effectively stopped all the kissy face on the mirrors.
Imagine that. KINS, News and Information Time.
It's the law of unintended consequences.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Simple Country therapist Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of change, the reality of change. Some dig their heels into their shoulders. Some embrace change and go running, looking for change. Is change one of those things that we can balance in our lives, or is it more of a reactive mode and you can anticipate, but you are in more of a reactive?
Yeah, the habit patterns that we all enjoy that make our day stable and smooth are fine. And then change intervenes to upset or modify those things. And if you, first of all, accept that change is inevitable and then you anticipate some changes, that means that when you anticipate changes, you're looking at how they're going to affect you and or your kids or your business, right? When you begin anticipating that, first of all, you deal with some practical issues, and then the software comes in. Then you begin to understand that, okay, change is inevitable. What kind of change? How do I look for change? What are the signposts or the markers for change? Who else knows about change? Well, I think I'll get, if I'm a used car dealer, I think I'll get involved in the Used Car Dealers Association, where we can get together and have coffee and talk about what's coming. Because somebody always knows something first, and it may be the East Coast that talks to the West Coast, or it may, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Technology and all like that. So when you begin to accept the concept of change, and then you begin to anticipate change, if you anticipate it as a entire driven lifestyle, then you're going to probably start losing the comfort of some of your everyday routines. So that's not going to work well either. Now you become a change junkie, and instead of relaxing and being able to enjoy some of the ordinary stuff of life, you anticipate change for everything, and that's very distracting as well. So like you said, there has to be some balance between what change is coming, how change impacts. I mean, what I'm not interested in changing, like my golf game, I'm not going to spend thousands of dollars on coaching to get my golf game handicap from an 8 to a 6. Who cares? You know, that's not me. Now, if I was a professional, that's a whole different issue. That's not about change. That's about fine-tuning the professional edge, right? So anticipating change and the effect it has on you has to do with some judgment calls about what your value system is, what's a worthwhile investment of time, energy, money, other resources, and the effect that it has on you, you and your partner, you and your family, you and your business. So if people are just total bananas about change, that can be very distracting and destructive.
good and there's good change and bad change. Do most people deal with change as a monotone or a single color, single definition, instead of realizing there's good, there's better, there's best, there's bad, there's negative? And the change comes in all kinds of flavors?
It does come in all kinds of flavors, and there's an upside and a downside to almost everything. There's an upside to being married, a downside to being married. There's an upside to being single, a downside to being single. So if one looks at the change in the cold, calm, cool, clear light of day, then you have to look at the upside and the downside. But if you look at change as, oh, damn, here it comes again, then there's going to be the odd bit of resistance involved in embracing the change. Or if you're not going to embrace it, at least understand the impact of it. Now, if you understand the impact of it, you may want to step aside and let that freight train go by instead of standing on the tracks. Whap! Bang! Right? You're not going to stop that train.
I'm thinking just a real simple, easy example. Road work. There's a detour.
Yeah.
Okay, is this a chance to explore a different neighborhood?
Have a look.
Or is this a major inconvenience, and by golly, it's going to take me an extra 95 seconds to get to work?
Right. Generates road rage and inconvenience as opposed to, oh, this is interesting. I've never been here before. And you look at that, and then you go, well, this is fine. And then you go off to work.
How does entitlement fit in with change?
Oh, my goodness gracious. They shouldn't be doing this to me. It's all about me, 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 me. The world is against me. My boss is against me. My wife, my kids are against me. The school is against me. The weather is conspiring to make my day wet and miserable. I mean, you can carry that all the way out to people that are just whining and sniveling.
But that does exist.
Oh, yeah. And those people are very difficult to be around because pretty much 80% of their involvement is whining and sniveling, complaining. And then people start avoiding them, and then they go, nobody likes me. I wonder why. I can't keep a friend. Well, they're not worthwhile anyway. You know, the sour grapes thing. Well, who would want them for a friend anyway if they don't have any patience with me? Well, oh my goodness gracious. Patience might indeed. So some people learn the hard way. Some people don't learn at all.
So if one wishes to be a change embracer, not necessarily a change causer, but an embracer.
Well, if you're an embracer of change, then you're going to start generating change.
Okay.
Because you're
Back it off a little bit and call it an acceptor of change.
If you're an acceptor of change, then you're kind of in neutral territory, and you go, okay, I can deal with that.
How do you pull up the stake if you've driven one? To use a phrase that has been used regularly over the decades, and loosen that up so that you are now at a healthier spot to be able to accept and adjust to the change.
You have to look at the stakes you drive in the ground. Now, I got some stakes in the ground that are driven flush, which means I'm not going to dig them up. Health and safety, dignity, agreements. Those are stakes I driven flush, and I don't think they're negotiable. These are bottom line healthy things, right? Where I live, that's not a stake driven flush in the ground. It's like a croquet stake, right? I can grab it, pick it up, move it, put it someplace else. So you have to look at what kind of stakes you have driven in the ground flush and how they got that way. If they got that way because my dad did it that way, my grandpa did it that way. My grandpa was a bachelor, my father was a bachelor, I'm a bachelor. If you got stakes driven in the ground flush, you got to look at your value system and what's the purpose of that habit. And some habits generate value. Honey, I'm home. How are you? Kiss, kiss, hug, hug. That's a habit that generates value. But some guys come home, throw their coat off, go in the garage, open up fifth of Jack Daniels and stay in there until dinner time. That's not a habit that's going to add value.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m., Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of entitlement coming together in full, I guess, full blush with change is interesting. Okay. And yet we've all done it.
Well, the funny
maybe
thing,
begrudgingly, but yeah, we've all done it.
The funny thing about entitlement is most of that is generated in childhood around family circumstances and situations in the emotional situations in childhood. And kids make decisions about what does DUE do to them. Then after they grow up, they expect people to DO do what does DUE do to them. So people with expectations expect the world or other individuals to do things for them because they expect their due, their DUE. Yet this is based not on current external circumstances, but on emotional decisions that kids make when they're growing up.
So if mom always made dinner for you,
then when you get married, you expect your wife to make dinner for you. Back to my bottom lines of health and safety, dignity, and agreements. Well, if there's no agreement and she's variable in how she makes dinner because that wasn't part of her background.
Mom did. Dad did it when she was
then
growing
he's
up,
yeah, going to have some feelings about having dinner maybe three times a week instead of seven. And so that anger, resentment may build and build and build until it finally blows up. Sometimes when people come in and see me, it's taken 15 years for him to say, well, I expect dinner all the time. What's the matter with you? Well, you never said anything to me about that. Well, I didn't have to. It's a due to me. So if people don't talk about what their expectations are, then you can get hidden hurts. So for change, it's useful to discuss what change is or is not happening. So after the honeymoon, there comes a period of adjustment. And hopefully it's with words and agreements and understandings.
Same thing in the business setting as well?
Yeah. When I grew up, my dad made dinner half the time. He did? To his wife. Your father made dinner? Yeah, he was a pretty good cook. Really? Do you know how to cook? No, my mother never taught me. She always made dinner. Oops. Never. Always. I don't know how to cook. Would you like to learn? No. Now we have that period of adjustment.
Yeah. Game on.
Game on. So let's talk about boiling water. How do you do that? Let's talk about opening up a can of soup and toasting some bread. Now you can make me a meal tonight. What? So there's that period of adjustment again. You want me to learn new skills? Yes, but honey, I'm fixed in my expectations about being nurtured and loved. I don't nurture by making food. I nurture by going out and making the income and bringing it home, and then you fix the dinner. There's a little period of chat and a period of adjustment. It's like, what do you mean, learn new skills?
That would be a change.
I nurture by bringing home the money. Period. Okay. Change.
Yeah, this is a well-worn trail for you, isn't it? I thought so. Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
We've been Talking Shop with Lou Quimby. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out making a good day. Hug someone you love. See you on Monday.